Hello, and welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's. Hello, when addressing a plural amount of people, is solvete. That's why I always say solvete omnes. Omnes referring to all and or every. That's where we get omnipotent, omniscient, omnitool. If you guys know about Mass Effect, shout out to one of the greatest sci-fi RPGs of all time. Don't at me because I know I'm right. That being said, and that little ramble-bamble given, just want to go ahead and plug my Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever you're listening, you can rate me, and I would appreciate that rating. You can also support me even more, monetarily speaking, by going to Ko-Fi. There's no subscription. I'm not asking for the arm and the leg of your firstborn child, nor the blood of your firstborn child. Not asking for your arm or leg either. All I'm asking for is for you to consider a tip. And that's what Ko-Fi is. I really appreciate the platform because you don't have to commit to anything. It's not like Patreon where you have to be a monthly subscriber. If you get something out of this, maybe it puts you to bed. Maybe you learn something new about a myth that you didn't know before, or that you just gleaned some information and you want to say thanks, Liam, for the information that you've given me and the hard work that you put into both writing, researching, and disseminating this information for y'all. That being said, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you guys for being here. And I know that ads are annoying. It's not really an ad, but it's just asking for you guys to consider supporting me right now as the fun employed individual that I am and continue to be until I get a job, because job markets are hard right now. That being said, let's get on into it. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a faraway land, far away in the azure expanse, rather, featuring a nice little brain fart. The azure expanse of the Aegean Sea, where the breath of Poseidon whispers through the waves, there lies a perilous passage known to the sailors as the Strait of Messina. And here, amidst the craggy cliffs and swirling currents, the myth of Scylla and Charybdis unfolds with all the drama and tragedy of ancient lore. At the heart of this tale stands a ship, its timbers weathered by countless voyages, its mast defiantly thrusting towards the heavens. On board, a crew of brave, intrepid sailors, full of gumption, led by their stalwart captain, Odysseus, renowned for both his cunning and courage, as well as his crafty and wily nature on the more antithetical side of his more positive attributes. Their destination in this case, the distant shores of Ithaca, where kin and kingdom await their return. But as they navigate the treacherous waters of the strait, they find themselves ensnared in the clutches of fate itself. For on one side looms Scylla, a monstrous creature of legend, her serpentine form coiled around the jagged rocks, her gaze ablaze with hunger and malice, coming from the Latin mala, meaning bad. In the adjectival form and in the noun form, it means apple. Because what connotates the apple? What is the connotation with an apple? Evil, because of the biblical reference. Getting back to the story now. One side, Scylla. And on the other side, churns Charybdis. What is Charybdis? A fearsome whirlpool that devours all in its path, a voracious maw poised to swallow the unwary. As the ship draws near, Odysseus stands at the helm, his brow furrowed with determination, his mind racing with strategies both cunning and bold. But he knows that to navigate this perilous passage, he must choose between two evils, each fraught with its own peril. With that resolve, that steely resolve, that sharp, hard resolve, Odysseus steers the ship towards Scylla, sacrificing a few of his crew to the ravenous jaws of the monster in order to spare the rest from the deadly embrace of Charybdis. And though his heart is heavy with sorrow for the lives lost, he knows that such is the price of survival in the world ruled by the capriciousness of gods and monsters. As the sail emerges from the strait, battered by unbowed, Odysseus reflects on this ordeal. What are the ideological implications gleaned? What can Odysseus reflect on? For in the midst of Scylla and Charybdis, he sees echoes of the perils that beset mortal souls on their journey through life. The temptations of greed and hubris, the dangers of succumbing to forces beyond our control. Now in modernity, we read this myth not merely as this relic of a bygone age, but as the mirror in which we may glimpse our own struggles and triumphs. For in this labyrinthine current of the human mind and psyche, we encounter our own Scyllas and Charybdises on a daily basis. We encounter those inner demons that threaten to engulf us in the depths of despair. Sometimes external, sometimes internal. Yet like Odysseus, we are reminded that in the face of adversity, it is our courage and our resilience that define us as human beings. We still find a way. And if we don't find a way, we make a way. Isn't that right? And though this passage may be fraught with peril, this life, we navigate it with grace and fortitude, guided by the wisdom of those who have gone before us. In the myth of Scylla and Charybdis, we not only find a cautionary tale of the dangers that lurk in the shadows of the unknown, but a testament to the indomitable spirit of the human soul. Sometimes we do get too tired, we get too wary, and we give up. But on the whole, we keep going. It's like me. It's like right now, I'm unemployed. This situation's been so weird, knowing the people that I thought had my back were actually backstabbing me in the process because of their own jealousy. Finding out that really, I was fired for reasons unknown. And when that happens and there's no closure, there's rumination, there's grief, there's loss, there's moving through this undulating wave of life. And in my mind, I'm like, what? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. It's not forever. Sometimes it feels like forever when you're embedded in it. But we still find a way past it, right? This isn't the rock bottom of my life. I've been rock bottom in my life more than once. This isn't rock bottom. This is a moving forward and a moving onward. And maybe that moving onward and moving forward and progression might be lateral. It might be a lateral step. Think about rugby. How do you score a try? You can't pass the ball forward. You actually have to pass it laterally to then move forward with holding the ball. You can't pass the ball forward. So as you move forward, you pass laterally, and then you continue to pass laterally as that ball makes its way across the field, further moving forward with each player that passes it laterally. And then until they, you know, encounter the defense that's about to tackle them or something like that, they pass it laterally again to another teammate until they eventually pass it all the way to probably the wing at the very end that comes around, scores that try, and then we got that one point conversion kick. Actually, two, I forget. It's been a while since I played rugby. So sometimes when you think you're not moving forward, you probably are, and the fact that you're thinking about it means that you are. And so at the end, to heed the lessons garnered from this myth, as we chart our course through the turbulent seas of our lives, not only do we have to be ever mindful of the perils that lie in wait beyond the horizon, but we also know that we can do it. Empower yourself. Be empowered. I know you can do it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. With that being said, Tempus est scelerate.